I also want to give a special thanks to the Lesbian History Archives, because as Brad mentioned, it was here that we first discovered Tipri's letters in a box that was sitting upstairs in a closet that had been donated by Joanna Russ. And as some of you may know, Joanna Russ was a radical feminist activist and critic and science fiction author. Her 1975 novel, The Female Man, is considered one of the most influential works of feminist science fiction. And in 2013, she was inducted into the Science Fiction and Fantasy Hall of Fame. Though James Tiptree Jr. Joined the Hall of Fame the year before, and despite the fact that Tiptree had won two Hugos and three Nebulas and a variety of other accolades, Tiptree's name is relatively less well-known today. Almost outside of science fiction, few people actually really know who Tiptree is. So I'll give you a little background. Pardon my nerves. So James Tiptree Jr. was a pen name used by a behavioral psychologist named Alice Sheldon beginning in the late 1960s. Tiptree debuted with a story called Birth of a Salesman and quickly gained a reputation for his fast-paced adventures and his just utterly original voice. Over time, James Tiptree Jr. developed into a full-fledged persona with his own style, his own signature, and even his own typewriter, and his own epistolary friendships with some of the most important speculative fiction writers of the day, from Ursula Le Guin and Harlan Ellison to Vonda McIntyre and Philip K. Dick, among many, many others. And in April 1972, she sent a fan letter to Joanna Russ under Tiptree's name. To Sheldon's surprise, Russ actually replied, setting off a lively and tumultuous correspondence that persisted until Tiptree's death. Sheldon had wanted to discuss feminism with Russ, but she had to do it through Tiptree. And the gender balancing act of maintaining her male persona created a lot of friction in their relationship. For one, Russ was extremely skeptical of Tiptree's motives, and she often harangued the author for his male biases. They feuded and they reconciled many times over, but their relationship was essentially warm and empathetic. Sheldon had a complicated relationship with feminism, and that fueled some of her arguments with Russ. At the height of Women's Lib, Sheldon identified as a feminist of an older school, and she was deeply pessimistic about women's potential to achieve meaningful collective power. And she worried that women of Russ's generation were too militant, and she often complained that they complained too much. But still, as a man, Tiptree displayed an uncommon compassion for women and quickly also gained a reputation as a rare male feminist. Sheldon's identity was revealed by fans in 1977, and the revelation sent a shockwave through the SF community. Not only was it generally assumed that Tiptree was a man, some people even hailed Tiptree as a paragon of, quote, masculine writing, denying even the possibility that such bold and lean stories might have been written by a woman. To this day, Sheldon is best remembered for obliterating certain gender boundaries in speculative fiction, and she remains a cult hero for having pulled off the deception for so long. Part of the reason that she was so successful was that Sheldon's own resume included a few conventionally masculine posts. Born in 1915, the daughter of explorers, Sheldon spent the majority of her adolescence accompanying her parents on expeditions through the wilderness of colonial Africa and India. In 1942, she joined the U.S. Air Force and worked as a photo intelligence officer, becoming the first woman in the field. She later joined the CIA, then earned a doctorate in experimental psychology. It was only when she was struggling to complete her dissertation that she penned her first science fiction stories as a diversion. And Tiptree was also a secret from everybody in Sheldon's personal life, except for her husband, Ting. So while the unmasking brought a massive wave of attention to Tiptree's stories, from Sheldon's perspective, Tiptree had just been killed. Writing as a woman, Sheldon felt that she had lost the implicit narrative authority that Tiptree had so relied upon. She also worried about what would happen to her friendships with other writers, and she was terrified that Russ wouldn't forgive the deception. Among second-wave feminists, the mask of Tiptree might be perceived as a cowardly escape route. To Le Guin, Tiptree confided, "I am one of those that always get accidentally guillotined when the great day of liberation comes, because, I guess, I am full of parentheses, and revolutions can't abide parentheses." Russ took the news graciously. Their correspondence grew open and frank and homed in on the subject of Sheldon's sexuality. Although she had married two men in her lifetime, Sheldon identified as lesbian and referred to herself as a frustrated gay because she had never had a physical relationship with another woman. Actually, in her journal, she kept a list of her lost loves, all of whom were women, and entitled it Tiptree's Dead Birds. In response to her coming out, Russ sent Sheldon a love letter and proposed to meet. Sheldon demurred, partly because she believed herself too old and ugly. They continued to share hundreds of letters and phone calls over the years, but they never actually met in person. In the absence of Tiptree's magic persona, Sheldon became depressed. "I am not a writer," she wrote in her journal. "I have an story in my head. All that went to JT Jr. and became, or was born, somewhat deformed or deracinated by being his." On May 19th, 1987, at 71 years old, Sheldon shot her ailing husband in his sleep, then killed herself with the same gun. In her final years, Sheldon had begun to regard her personal life as a kind of false existence, asserting more and more the reality of James Tiptree Jr. Although she was an atheist, Sheldon looked to death as the final hope for transcendental release. Her suicide, though tragic, might also be seen as the fulfillment of a lifelong yearning that she often expressed, both in her letters and in her fiction, to escape not only the confines of her gender, but to overcome the biological limitations, altogether, or in her words, to finally be free of the tyranny of species. So I was going to read the first letter that Tiptree sent to Russ, her fan letter, which all of you have here, but I've decided to change course last minute. So I'm just going to read a small portion of a letter that she wrote in September 74. "Dearest Joanna, you must not dump on Ursula Le Guin for this reason. Whether you know it or not, she does good to your movement. There is a place on the front for those gentle souls who only say it indirectly. I've told her she hasn't really found her voice yet. I happen to like, maybe love her personally very much. In any movement, the out-front radicals are always peeing on the moderate wing, but you forget what a terribly broad spectrum of opposition you confront. The moderates, Uncle Toms, if you will, convert their own sector of the opposition very effectively. They speak to people who would run screaming from you. You are a Malcolm X. She is a sort of Martin King. Her left hand of darkness, also even her, to me, better lathe of heaven, quietly and unforgettably undercuts sexual stereotypes for certain readers you can't reach. Now, maybe they should read you and more radical things, but they won't. They are only susceptible to seeping radicalism, to the slow percolation of low-voiced ideas. And the ideas are there, you know. Her style is the very quiet statement. When and if she tries to make a more direct one, she may well fumble and lose effectiveness. I wish I could convince you to be glad of any elements of alliance and stop insisting that there is only one way to skin the chauvinist pig. Some pigs you have to reassure as you do it. You and your outspoken like are indispensable, but you are not alone. As Lenin, or was it Marx, said, from each according to his powers. She uses her powers. Quietly, persistently, she inserts the impression that there is something very wrong and absurd between the sexes. Maybe you don't realize how clearly that idea comes through. It does. That is a very useful function. Whether she lives up to what you think a woman should be and say is ultimately irrelevant. Be content to lead and to be out there where the cold winds blow, and save your imprecations for Phyllis Schlafly.
Thank you.